Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go. Yes, indeed. It is the 26th day of January, 2017. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's where folks are gathering in the chat room, even as we speak. A good group gathering early on. If you go to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and you pick yourself out a screen name and a password there under the chat room tab, well, you can jump right in and you'll be met by Anatole and Don from Central PA and Hoghead and Jug of Punch and Labor Man and Steve from Georgia Stan and VT Flom, and all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, though a third stage guild navigator, has this evening disclosed the fact that even third stage guild navigators, they can't fold space around everything. Too many mosquitoes in the man cave thanks to all the rain and sun today. Because, you know, it's spring in Northern California because climate change. So no space folding today. Right. And if you want to jump in there, you'll have a magnificent time hanging out in the multimedia madcap real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room and has been for lo, yea, verily, these many, many years. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Horn. This is Thorn in the Side Thursday. And, well, we'll be busy. This, of course, is a listener-supported broadcast operation. And we've kind of got a little bit of a crunch on this week because, again, program note for anyone who wasn't listening Tuesday or Wednesday, I will be gone next week, all of next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'll be in D.C. Heading up to do some work on the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Campaign, and I will tell more as time goes on. If you're not following me on Facebook and or Twitter, you might want to, not because I have some sort of monumental ego that just yearns for people to know, but simply so when I do update our actions and efforts, you can be part of it and help out, if you are so inclined. So because I'm going to be gone all next week, we've tried to do all of next week's fundraising this week. And that is a chore, to say the very least. And I don't like doing it. Hell, I don't like the fundraising at all. But it's either fundraise or just don't have a radio program and don't have this little community, what have you. So the way it worked out, we needed to raise Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We needed to raise $487 per night. We're actually doing better than I had dared hope. We have this evening, thanks to our subscribers, among them, Harold of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, Sachtris. Because of our subscribers, we have less than $487 to deal with. Taken all together, we and that's Harold and that's Milton in California, as well as Michael and Madison, and as noted, Harold of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, Sostris. And as a result of that, we do not have $487 to raise this evening. As a result of that, we have $320 to raise this evening. Thank you very kindly, one and all. That makes a, what's the phrase we're looking for here? Big damn deal. And that makes it a little bit easier to deal with numbers like this, and especially because, courtesy of Chris in Germany, there's another matching challenge on the table this evening. Chris in Germany has offered to match the first $100 that come in, so that will take us down to only $187 to go. So hopefully folks will run over to headonradionetwork.com, click on Contribute, and use the PayPal interface there. If you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, just click that little Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation box, and you'll be part of the subscribers. And remember, there's a subscriber premium on the table for four more people. We'll get your first month's subscription bumped by $5, courtesy of Tracy, the lady cab driver. And I really hope that'll happen. And this is the time of the month when we're really, really thin on subscribers, so it would be a great time to do that. If you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, just shoot me shoot me an internet. You know, it's not a series of tubes. It's not a big truck. It is a series of tubes, in fact. And I'll let Boss Man Wayne know. The mailing address, checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And if you let me know, I'll let Boss Man Wayne know. He won't have to wear the spider-proof gloves when he goes to reach into the mailbox. And all he'll have to take with him is his handy-dandy Adirondack 34-ounce guaranteed Little League solid wood baseball bat in case he runs into the Grand Kleagle, because they get their mail there, too. Not in the same box, same place. Right? Right. And I want to send out a special thanks as well to Joy. Joy just sent a note along. And she said, I'm sending a donation this evening. Your work in D.C. is vital. And it is my hope that the Horn community will ensure that you don't have to worry about anything back at the campfire. And that's the goal. Thank you, Joy. Thank you very, very kindly. And thank you for the very kind words. I wish, I wish I got to take vacations, but yeah, you know, oh well. This is going to, I was talking with some other folks about this. When we go to D.C., generally speaking, there are mornings that start at 5 or 6, and by 9 o'clock at night, you're just, I've done broadcasts, but that was back when we had little headquarters for the 8 campaign. We don't have that now, so we'll just be sitting in a hotel room somewhere. But it's time-consuming and fairly arduous. I mean, it's not, 16 tons or anything or working on the Erie Canal, but well, there's something about D.C. that'll just kind of take it out of you. So leaving and, well, you know, everybody else will be back here at the ranch. But thank you very kindly, Joy, for saying that and for helping out. That's part of why we're down to $320 to go with a $100 challenge on the table. Regarding impeachment, Joy notes, and not a lot to disagree with here. Joy says, I agree that this group of charlatans and horse molesters, oh, how nice, a Bart Cop reference. Remember when Bart Cop would refer to Paul Harvey as the old horse molester? Yes. Obviously, Joy does. This group of charlatans and horse molesters will not impeach Trump because it would not play well with the rubes back home. If they decide it's time to get rid of him, I believe they will JFK him. This will provide the rubes with a martyr. Pence gets installed. Republicans continue apace with their befuckery. Great word. Wait a minute. That's a cowbell word. Befuckery. Without the Trump irritant, everyone is happy. P.S. Has Trump put Nell into the cabinet yet? We could use some coherence. Chicka, 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 bee. Tea and me and tea and me. Rissa, 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 me. Chicka, 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 bee. Not yet, but given what went down today, oh my God, don't give up. It could yet happen. There's oodles o' crazy out there. What do I mean? Well, Marty. Marty heard the word hotel and said, staying at Caligula's Trumpus's place while in D.C.? That's not just no, Marty. That's oh hell no. That's oh hell no with a side of what the are you thinking? No. No, we will not be there. But we will be hoteling. It was a lot easier to get the work done back when we had the little apartment because there in the Methodist building, because we were right next door to the Supreme Court. We were literally across the street from the Senate and the House of Representatives office buildings, were a brisk, quarter mile walk. And we always had a pot of beans going, some rice, and it made for effective work, because that meant you could be there just every day. We're only going to be there a week, and hopefully we will accomplish a great deal. So that's what happens next week. But today, I mean, what is this, day six? Day six, and now we're into Stalinist purges? Because we had one? See, and you know this, okay? I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. When administrations change, even if the administration had changed from Barack Obama to Hillary, oh, Jesus, not her, dear God, Goldman Sachs speeches, son of a bitch, emails, Benghazi, oh, sorry. She's the devil! Even if that had happened, there would be, people coming out and people going in. Because the new executive gets to have his or her choice as to who the president wants to. But this wasn't that. Because once you get down below the typical Senate-confirmed political appointees, these executive branch agencies run on, and anybody who's ever worked in D.C. knows this all the way down to the ground, they run on the labors of career civil servants. People who have served in that department under Republicans, under Democrats, under Democrats, under Republicans. And they all kind of got pushed out today. They didn't jump. They were pushed. And so a great deal, more than anyone I've read today, a large number of career civil servants and upper-level management at the Department of State have bugged out. They're gone. It's done. It's over. Sorry. Goodbye. And we're talking about people who manage technology and people who manage the consulates and make the Department of State actually be the Department of State. Because the actual Secretary of State is, has power. But in the grand scheme of things, the actual Secretary of State is not the one who keeps the Department of State going. It's people like these folks who bugged out today. And so the question becomes one of, were they told to leave? Because, see, we already know of a couple of instances where people, nope, get the hell out. Don't care. Don't care if you're not here because you're not. Don't care. Get out. You might have some Kenyan Muslim you slurper on you or something. Can't have you around here. But real problems arise out of this, because consulates don't just sit there. Oh, and by the way, some Republicans in the Senate have proposed cutting Department of State consulate budgets by half or something along those lines in the last few days. You know, because Benghazi. Remember when they were so worried about the appropriate level of staffing and funding for consulates, and they spent millions and millions of our dollars investigating something that was pretty clear-cut from the very beginning? But you couldn't turn on a news channel on the television without finding some wild-eyed, hair-on-fire Republican. Oh, Benghazi! God! Yeah, well, none of that matters anymore. And, you know, and that was Thursday. Oh, this is going to be bizarre. Hey, half of Chris's challenge just got met. Thank you very kindly. In the name of science, reproductive freedom, environmental truth, free speech, et al. Hashtag to the resistance. Thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly indeed. So that means 50 more bucks to go to meet Chris's challenge, and then we'll only have 187 beyond that. So maybe we can do this. Maybe we can. No, the State Department, I mean, I'm trying, and I know you are too. I'm trying to get to this place where I comprehend what's going on. And I'm not surprised, but no. With the State Department stuff, you still kind of look up and you go, "What?" And then there's Voice of America, which in the last defense authorization had a little tweak to its governance. None of us were paying attention. I mean, who pays attention to the Voice of America? What the Voice of America runs Radio Free Europe, Radio Free Asia, things like that. But there were a couple of things tucked away. You almost wonder if the Republican majorities were making plans for just in case the sallow Sulla managed to win the election by hook or by crook. It's not crook. Stop saying it's crook. It's not crook. Robert, up somewhere near Morgantown says, it's Trade War Thursday. Oh, I have a feeling we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But Voice of America was an external voice of American ideas and, well, propaganda to the wider world. And because of these little tucked away poison pills, one, the corporate governance of Voice of America used to be with a board. Well, now it's going to be a guy. Well, you can almost bet it'll be a guy, but it'll be a person answerable not to the board, but to the president. And also tucked away in there is the idea that maybe Voice of America can start broadcasting to Merca, too. An internal propaganda broadcasting arm that will be the chew toy of the tangerine turd. No, that doesn't sound at all. That doesn't sound at all like he's taking advice from his boyfriend, Big Bad Vladdy Daddy, does it? No, what you need is broadcast ability to speak only to your fellow countrymen, so they will know truth when media lies to them. Is how this works, you see. Now that doesn't sound anything.
No,
please. You know, except for the part where it does. And lo and behold, a couple of kids come swanning in to Voice of America.
Yeah, we're just here to look over the place. I mean, we want to just see how it works and everything. We're not enforcers or anything. It's a lovely little VOA you've got here. It'd be terrible if something happened to it.
Oh, strap in.
And what Joy said in her message about, you know, if they really get sick of him, they'll JFK him. Well, that's why Mike Pompeo is there at CIA now.
Yes.
Because all of this is firewalling of one sort or another. It is an effort, you know, even Mike Pence is an effort to for Trump to protect himself. Because people go, oh, Jesus, Mike Pence, I mean, you know, he's a religious maniac. That guy's halfway to being the Taliban as it is. Please, dear God, look after Donald Trump and keep him hale and healthy. Right. So, you know, that. And then there was what happened with the media in general today. God, I feel like I'm sitting on a bed of thorns. Racist Bannon, you know, the guy who's registered to vote in two different states, you know, committing voter fraud. He took to the public and declared in a telephone interview with the New York Times,
the media should be embarrassed and humiliated and keep its mouth shut and just listen for a while. I want you to quote this. The media here is the opposition party. They don't understand this country. They still do not understand why Donald Trump is the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Ostensibly, the purpose of the call with the Times was to tell the New York Times what a fabulous job Sean Spicer has been doing. Because it was, but just like any time, I mean, 6 days in.
6 days.
And every time they open their mouths to talk about one thing, they wind up pissing and moaning about how they're being mistreated because everyone isn't lining up to fellate them. Or in, I don't know. Let's be gender nonspecific and just say not lining up to analingus them. Hmm. Trump strategist Steve Bannon says media should keep its mouth shut. This was not the purpose of the interview. But it's what he wound up talking about. The same way the demented in chief wound up pissing and moaning about media when he was standing in front of the memorial wall to all the dead CIA agents. He went on,
the elite media got it dead wrong, 100% dead wrong, said Mr. Bannon, who once described himself as a Leninist. It was a humiliating defeat that they will never wash away, that will always be there. The mainstream media has not fired or terminated anyone associated with following our campaign. Look at the Twitter feeds of those people. They were outright activists of the Clinton campaign. That's why you have no power. You were humiliated. Now, there's nothing at all Stalinist about that. No, not a bit. No, of course not. Except, you know, everything. Meanwhile, racist Bannon is still a Nazi. And he's still, I mean, the purpose of all of this is to the extent that in between sessions of picking their teeth with their toenail clippings, the Trumpanzees stop to read the New York Times. I mean, yeah, right. But this is to beat on them and try to beat them into submission. At one point in time, the Times asked him if he was concerned about Sean Spicer losing credibility. He said, "Are you kidding me? We think that's a badge of honor, questioning his integrity. Are you kidding me? The media has zero integrity, zero intelligence, and no hard work. You're the opposition party, not the Democratic Party. You're the opposition party. The media is the opposition party. The paper of record for our beloved republic, the New York Times, should be absolutely ashamed and humiliated. They got it 100% wrong." Well, now they're working on maybe getting it right again. And look, I'll be the first one to say that it's day late and dollar short. That if maybe they hadn't sat on the Russia dossier before the election and had actually fulfilled their obligation as the Fourth Estate to keep the American people informed, maybe we wouldn't be here, and maybe they wouldn't be sitting there contemplating what it must taste like to suck the toes of Steve Bannon. But that's where we are, and they are figuring it out. Slowly, but surely. Apparently, Jake Tapper didn't take any too kindly to being told by Steve Bannon collectively to shut the fuck up. I'm sorry, keep its mouth shut. Well, so, but that's the question. So, if the for-profit media are supposed to keep their mouths shut, then should they just shutter and nobody publishes anything, nobody broadcasts anything, except like maybe a series of videos and still photographs and audio recordings of the great, maybe CNN and MSNBC and NBC and CBS and ABC and everybody but Fox, because they're kind of already doing it, could just run a rerun loop for the next 4 years of old episodes of The Apprentice with the sallow Sulla periodically looking at him saying, "You fired." Well, let's see how that played with Jake Tapper. Shall we? Do let's.
A reminder that the president's top aide just told the New York Times that the press should keep its mouth shut. No. We're back with our national lead now. More violence in Chicago, no. Just hours.
So that was that part. Yeah. No. And then as the program came toward its end, he couldn't help coming back to it. Oh, damn it. Wait a minute. Helps when you put the, bring up the gain, Bob.
For the lead, I'm Jake Tapper. I'll turn you over to Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room. He also is not going to keep his mouth shut.
Okay, so he closed with a joke. Yeah, Wolf Blitzer's going to be real hard on the Trump administration. No, not since he was hiding under a table during the first Iraq War. No. Sorry.
I feel sorry for them, but they're still kind of a... kind of a joke. I mean, well, some of them are. Like Wolf Blitzer. Dive! 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 You just want to get him one of those ribbed... turtleneck sweaters so that, you know, he's got the whole U-boat thing going on for him. Yeah. But, Tapper seems to have found a bit of a voice in all of this. And he went Bible reading. Oh yeah. And he put out a quote from Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Mm-hmm. Now I just read it. It doesn't say @RealDonaldTrump. It doesn't say #Trump. It doesn't say Trump anywhere in it. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Well, all of a sudden, the Trumpanzees got all hot and bothered. Because somehow, with their Trumpanzee tangerine telepathy, they were able to read Jake Tapper's mind, and they knowed right off that he was a-talking about Trump. Fake news CNN is an abomination to the Lord, especially lying Jake Tapper. Did you quote this about Hillary, Obama, Harry, or Nancy? If not, why not? I'm surprised you didn't burst into flames quoting that, journalist. On and on and on and on. Because they just automatically knew, that was about the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. Without even being told. Now, what does that say about the mind of the Trumpanzee? They know he's a liar. They just don't like other people pointing out that he's a liar. And just in case you were wondering, yes. Yes, I've already got our bumper all lined up for the break. It's one of those that just sort of writes itself, picks itself, chooses itself. And then there's Mexico. And apparently in the dark and still of the night, which is when he does his best work, Benito Chito said that the upcoming meeting between him and the president of Mexico should not come off if Mexico wasn't just going to grovel its way north and declare that they were plumb eager to spend billions, if not possibly $1 trillion, building the great Trump Wall of Merca.
The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, in the universe, now, today, forever, under God. Amen.
Right. So then the president of Mexico said, yeah, you know, we're not going to meet with you. I'm not trying to fan any flames or flame any fans. But more than anything else, I mean, I know people are worried about, you know, getting into it in the Middle East, or and then there's the Purity Brigade, who were absolutely convinced that Hillary, oh, Jesus, Hillary, God damn, she's about to go to war with Russia in World War III. But the fact of the matter is, the more I think about it, the more I fret, I suppose, is the best word. The more I fret about the possibility of going to war with Mexico. Because it wouldn't be like the first time that we ginned up a war with Mexico because they had something we wanted. And let's remember, Mexico does have something we want. No, Donald Trump doesn't have the basic mental acuity to recognize that those aren't Merkins out there picking his strawberries and his lettuce. And beyond that, one other thing, picking his grapes. You know about this, right? Yeah, the Play-Doh Cheeto has vineyards. Absolutely. In Virginia, no less. And those aren't a whole bunch of Merkins who are picking the grapes. Not by a long shot. Those are Hispanic people. Most of them on some sort of visa. But it's not... It's not little Susie Whitebread and little Michael Merkin out there doing it. No, not at all. So now we are at the beginnings of a stalemate with Mexico. And James K. Polk didn't have a lot of compunction against invading Mexico when there was no particular casus belli. In fact, the invasion, the Mexican War, was such an odious abomination, if we can use that word, that a young member of the House of Representatives named Abraham Lincoln stood up and denounced it in no uncertain terms. Can I see that happening again? Yes. Can I see the American military going, hoo-ah, and running and bombing Mexican villages and slaughtering women and children? Yes, I can. Because we're not to that place yet where people tell him no. And with regard to Mexico... a note coming in from Ron in the, compromise by saying frigid north. A further thought on our discussion last evening regarding Mexico's possible retaliatory actions. Remember when the possibility was raised that Mexico would no longer perform its longstanding role as an ally of the U.S. and block as many migrants as possible from streaming north through Mexico? Another long-standing alliance with the U.S. has been the war on drugs. What would happen if Mexico decided not to risk the lives of their police and military trying to stem the flow of drugs to the U.S.? You know, just step aside. Let the cartels duke it out and Let the river of drugs flow north unimpeded. It's not their citizens shooting up in the streets and alleys. Yeah, just saying. And I think that has that deserves some attention. Because the fact of the matter is, one of the things that they wanted, that at least the Mexican government wanted to talk about in these talks that are not going to happen now. And it sort of dovetails with the threat by, Jesus, that asshole. I'm tired of coming up with secondary references. That fuckwit, that twit, that turd, that jackass, that ignorant Trump. The other night when he was threatening to send in the feds, you caught that, right? To Chicago, no less. He's going to invade Chicago. He said, you know, if Chicago doesn't do something about the murder rate, I'll send in the feds. Now, there's only one problem. He will have to violate the Constitution in order to do that. Because while, the exact tweet was, if Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage going on, yeah, because he learned a new word, everybody, so he's going to use it a bunch. If Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage, and he put scare quotes around carnage, going on, 228 shootings in 2017 with 42 killings, up 24% from 2016, I will send in the feds. Well, there's only one problem. The 10th Amendment kind of precludes that. You remember the 10th Amendment. Every time Barack Obama said, hi, my name is Barack Obama, there was some birther, deather, bircher, ninth or tenth or booger eater screaming, 10th Amendment! 10th Amendment! And the 10th Amendment is kind of a catch-all. It just puts a little bow on everything else that's in the Bill of Rights. I mean, it's one sentence. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. Notice how the people come last. Yeah, I know. So there's a two-pronged thing going on there. If the Constitution doesn't give the power to the United the federal government, and if the Constitution doesn't prohibit the states from doing it, then the states get those powers. Yeah, or the people. Okay? Well, one of the things that the 10th Amendment prevents Donald Trump from doing is invade Chicago for purposes of law enforcement. And it's pretty well settled by the Supreme Court, at least until we get our new justice, which is another question altogether. I mean, do you realize that there are only 17 members of the United States Senate who are Democrats who have openly said that they will vote against Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III? Only 17. In the last 24 hours or so, it has been reported that someone in Senator Dianne Feinstein's office has said that they're hardly getting any calls at all telling DiFi not to support Sessions. What are we, asleep? Or have we already given up? They said that they got thousands more on the, oh God, who? Bork, maybe. You know what? How many Democrats are there in the Senate? What are we, 48? No, 46? As far as I'm concerned, and I don't like drawing lines in the sand or anything, but Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, he's his own little line in the sand, isn't he? It's a very white line. Now, if I'm using the right number, and I may not be, if there are 46 Democrats in the Senate, and two of them are Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp, then that means there are only 44 Democrats in the Senate. But there had, if that's the case, and at this point it's strictly ceremonial, I understand that, but there had better be, by God, 44 votes against Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, lest one wind up under his sheets with him. And I'm not talking about the ones on his bed. I'm talking about the ones that he wears when he goes out in the dark and still of the night and pulls a pillowcase over his head. But anyway, back to Mexico. Via Chicago. The reason Chicago is the way it is because Wisconsin is the way it is, and Southern Illinois is the way it is. Chicago tries to deal with its gun violence problem, but it can't. Because all the freedom protectors in Southern Illinois and over in Talibandiana and up in Wisconsin can pretty much get guns in Cracker Jack boxes. They're all over the place. They're easy to have. And they're awful easy for people who want to do violence with guns to go and get. Chicago's gun problem isn't a philosophical problem. It's not an ethnic problem. It's not anything but geography. Because Chicago sits circumvallated, vallated, pervs, circumvallated by free fire zones and easy access to guns, which then flood into Chicago. And now getting back to Mexico, one of the things that they wanted to talk about, the Mexicans, is the fact that a great deal of the firearms that plague Mexico's streets don't start life in Mexico. They come from here. They come from Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, maybe a slightly smaller number from California. But to the extent that the right-wingers and birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, and booger-eaters and trumpanzees are all about undocumented immigrants, we got guns going in the opposite direction as quick as they can be carried. And that's because we have a Second Amendment that says the right of pasty-faced, doughy white people to stockpile firearms and ammunition shall not be infringed upon, even though it makes a neighbor country bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed. So that's another one of the things we're not going to be talking about. And frankly, the wall wouldn't stop that. because we're not interested in Mexicans who are leaving the United States. We're interested in the ones who are coming in. So if they're on their way out and they got a few Uzis and Tech Nines and whatnot, Glock 19s, what have you, in the trunk. Yeah, what the hell is that to us? We're worried about some poor bastard that wants to come up here and swab toilets and pick strawberries. So that's another conversation we won't be having. And still, no matter how many interviews the for-profit media conduct with the average Trump voter, none of them seem to be able to wrap their heads around the idea of a wall, or as former President Vicente Fox of Mexico refers to it, a fucking wall that's going to cost maybe up to $1 trillion. As Ron and Raleigh pointed out last night, $6 million a mile. There's just something in me that fears we will wind up in some sort of militarized misery with Mexico. I was thinking about that earlier today, and because I'm a history nerd, I was thinking about the San Patricio Brigade. American soldiers who got down to Mexico and realized how god-awful, evil, wrong was the Mexican War. And they switched sides. Americans fought with the Mexicans against American troops. And they were executed for it. But it's something that we here in America aren't taught. But the San Patricios are honored every year there. Because they had the ability to determine evil from good and to side with good. Earther, Mr. Trumpachev, build up that wall and make it great and awesome and covered in gold leaf. Mr. Trump Putin, build up that wall and put your name on it in gold leaf every quarter mile or so. Oh, nice pop culture reference, Robert in Morgantown. $6 million a mile? Jesus, we used to get a whole bionic man for that. Well, it's inflation. What do you want? Let me catch up with some other remarks here as we come toward the close of the filibobster. A little bit of a correction coming from Asa. The Voice of America has had the ability to broadcast within the United States for about 3.5 years. The last of the poison pill came in a few months back that rearranged the governance structure. Last night, you may have recalled my conversation with Carol Baker, in which she said, yes, her boss and his employees, all of whom are documented and legal, are still nonetheless nervous, worried, scared. Because if ICE decides to get you, they err on the side of you're an illegal immigrant. But anyway, Carol says, for 8 years we had a demonstrably biased network dedicated to spreading every salacious new lie about President Blackenstein. When they were handing out interviews, Fox was always the first in line with Obama. It was a rare moment when he called them on their shit. Oh, no, we have to talk to people, even if we don't necessarily agree with them, for that is the genius of America. God, remember when we had a president who talked like that? Anyway, Carol continues, we now have a megalomaniacal toddler who fills his days attacking everyone who doesn't sniff his throne. Imagine if Obama had acted like this, even for a moment. Oh, well, I mean, all he had to do was sign an executive order saying that that ice cream is a good thing, and there was the goddamn GOP screaming, oh, is it a Kenyan Muslim, you slurping tyrant, using it's probably Sharia ice cream. But here's a question. Barack Obama did what little bit he could do in the face of a treasonous Congress that conspired against him. He wound up having to do anything he wanted to do by executive order, which, you know, severely that only affects the executive branch. Now, Trump, on the other hand, has a whole Congress. He's got a healthy majority in the Senate and a healthy majority in the House. Why is that little fucker doing everything by executive order? Why is he bypassing the Congress? Why is he being tyrannical? The tangerine tyrant. Or the Tangelo tyrant. Why? What, the Congress doesn't want to do its job? Why not do it broad? Oh, wait, I know. He doesn't think he needs them. And they really don't need him until it comes time to make sure that Granny doesn't get, well, to make sure that Granny's Medicare gets replaced with $1.27 a month supplement. Yeah. A subsidy. And a bottle of aspirin that she can take as many of whenever she wants to. They won't need him. They won't care what he does until it's time to really, really America. Kill Medicare. Destroy Social Security. Turn Medicaid into block grants that can then be given to the likes of Scott Walker and Rick Scott and Greg Abbott in Texas and whatnot, who can then use it to not provide medical care for people who desperately need it. Well, by God, it would be nice, wouldn't it? Arthur asking, is that the next Ben and Jerry's flavor, Tangerine Tyrant? It would make for a nice, I think it would even be good as an ice cream. Don't go with the sorbet on that. Huh. Tangerine Tyrant. And you're right, Carol. Carol says he's one fucking Twitter seizure from starting World War III. And adds, my boss, who has dual citizenship, was detained by immigration last time he came across the border. And this wasn't a fluke. It was just last week. Ron noting, Trump is signing executive orders because, one, he can, and two, he can claim all the credit. I did it all by myself. Because he's a big boy. Jeeves. Gerald points out, hey, in other news, the doomsday clock has been moved 30 seconds closer to midnight. It's currently set at 2.5 minutes to midnight. Care to guess why it was moved up another 30 seconds? You only get one guess. Is that guess tangerine colored? That's what I thought. Yeah, I saw that earlier today and was not reassured. Note coming in from Graham. Jesus, Jen's in Italy and she's contacted her senators. See, this sort of fact-checking is what drives her nuts. I know the Repugs are going to fill the cabinet as they see fit, but the voting record of the Dems matters. As you say, Bob, have they learned nothing? My heart sinks for you folks, Graham. It is no joke. It's stressful being here. It's highly stressful. And getting more so. Because I know, even though I try to catch everything, I know I'm missing stuff. Because nobody can keep up with all of it. It's just not possible. Oh, but by the way, you know how we were... I guess we even when we speculate ahead of the curve. A hacker has told CNN that Trump's Twitter account, at least until recently, has been linked to a personal email account, and that that personal email account belongs to Dan Scavino, his social media guy. That means not that I want anybody to do anything. We don't have any hackers in this community. I mean, we're no. But it wouldn't be much of a chore, apparently, to get access to that Gmail account. And then make real mischief by resetting Trump's password and then start tweeting as Trump any number of things, like, you know, calling on the Trump pansies to carry Alec Baldwin off to the gulag for some re-edumacating. And there's nothing to indicate that there's anything like two-step authentication on that account. Mm-hmm. The CNN story is disturbing. Because the hacker actually put the details out and said, change your emails and fix settings. This is the same hacker who hacked pro-ISIS accounts and put up porn and gay pride messages. CNN says, according to this particular hacker, POTUS, FLOTUS, and Vice President are more vulnerable because they haven't selected a basic security feature on Twitter that requires you to provide a phone number or email address to reset your password. Current security setting for these three accounts allows anyone to click on forgot password and type in FLOTUS, POTUS, or @VP. The next screen says we found the following information associated with your account and gives a partially redacted email address to which it will send a password recovery link. Wow. He's also found the likely email associated with Melanoma Trump's handle. Took him about 20 minutes. Turns out Mike Pence's associated email is vicepresident2017@gmail.com. They got around to changing that. But Trump and Malaria's email addresses are still the same. And Pence still doesn't have a second layer of security. And CNN Tech tried. They reached out. They said, y'all just, we're trying to help here. Crickets. Wow. And one of the more fearful things being pointed out is that if somebody were to take over the account, they could start World War III. But then again, Trump could start World War III with one single tantrum. And meanwhile, Sean Spicer, genius, has apparently accidentally tweeted his own tweeted the password to some account twice in 3 days. AM on the 26th and 6:59 AM on the 25th. Jesus. Graham says, constituents need their morale boosted by their representatives at the very least taking a stand. Why else should any of you bother to even try to have a voice? Sounds very dispiriting, or as Plugs would type, sad. Or as the spies, it's demoralizing. Working on a parody song is Kitty in Boston. Hey, Mr. Tangerine Man, build a wall for me. That's got potential, Kitty. Don't just leave it laying there. Kitty says, love that the Mexican press pulled out of the visit. Can you imagine the colossal pouty face on Trump? I can hear him now sniveling. Well, I didn't want him here anyway. Wah. Meanwhile, pointing out something from the Moscow Times, David in South Carolina sends along a quote, with four alleged U.S. assets arrested in Russia in 6 days, the latest skinny is that someone in the administration is outing our spies. Meanwhile, a senior-level manager and, Kaspersky Labs, the antivirus people, a senior manager there has been arrested in Russia because Kaspersky is a Russian company and charged with treason. Isn't that interesting? Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, says all new roads lead to Beijing. Well, Shanghai. Iceberg lettuce aside, even DT knows why Mexico isn't in any real danger from invasion. Something like $1 trillion plus in trade, I believe. are all those missing jobs and their economic anxiety-inducing consequences. Oh, yeah. And China. Not that they've developed a taste for tacos, but the Panama Canal is such a useful addition to the new Silk Road. Regards, Steve, in China. That's all true. As regarding DiFi, Sylvia just sent a note and said, Bob, as a Californian, I called 4 different numbers for Dianne Feinstein, and all were either busy or full. Somebody doesn't want to hear. Marty says, did you hear that Caligula's Trumpus wants to pay for that wall with a 20% import duty on goods coming from Mexico? That's right. The American people are going to pay for that damn thing twice. And Ron in Raleigh, meanwhile, says, have you noticed after all this yammering about illegals coming across the border and deporting the piss out of any and all that are here illegally, but not one blinking word about jailing those that hire them? Can't see the forest for the racism. And that's a fact. There's whenever Republicans get their maiden forms in a bunch about immigration, they never stop to think about the people who hire the immigrants. Because the people hiring the immigrants are generally not, you know, working class folks. It's contractors driving Porsches or Mercedes-Benz or what have you, or really fancy schmancy pickup trucks. Yeah, I'm building a house. Y'all want to work today? Right. Mike says, what this administration is, the way Lush Dimbulb referred to the Clinton presidency is America Held Hostage Day XXX in his radio show, if you want to call it that, we should refer to as the Hijacking of America or Loss of Democracy Day XXX. Actually thinking about something like that. Maybe changing some of the imaging for the program. And, okay, this gets a cowbell. David in South Carolina says, Republicans have approved hypocrisy waivers for themselves. So, at 12 minutes past the hour, and thank you very kindly to Dr. Allen. We have met Chris's challenge. So that means we are at 200, we're 200 bucks to the good. $50 more. And so that means we've got $100 more to go in fundraising for the evening. Hopefully we can do that. All right, break time. Can't remember if Brad and Desi are still away from the microphone or not. No, they're not. Good. So we'll take a break. We've got the Green News Report coming up, courtesy of Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Then we'll get going with your calls if you want. Or I can fill a bobster some more. It's you know, six of one, half dozen of another. Your call, literally. 304-574-8481 or 304-663-4676. That spells horn. That's the stress line. And from anywhere on planet Earth, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. BobKincaidHorn. Bob Kincaid Horn. All of those get you into and onto the program. And I look forward to every call that comes through. So if you want to get involved, light it up. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's Thursday, January 19, 2017.
But I need you also to be worried about human health.
Democratic senators grill Trump's EPA pick.
I think where there's debate on it is what that influence is.
While his Interior Department nominee denies scientific consensus. Obama slips in one more parting gift for the planet, plus...
Global temperatures hit a record high in 2016.
It's official. 2016 was the hottest year on record for the third straight year in a row.
All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
What the American people are expecting here is the EPA... doesn't turn into every polluter's ally.
Well, the American people are just going to have to lower their expectations, aren't they, Senator? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I know you're covering a number of the confirmation hearings on today's Green News Report. However, as we go to air, former Texas Governor Rick Perry is about to begin his confirmation hearings as he has been named to be Donald Trump's Secretary of the Department of Energy. And the New York Times reports yesterday that when Rick Perry accepted that job, he had no idea what the Department of Energy actually did.
Oh, dear.
He thought it was for oil and gas.
Nope.
It's for nuclear issues.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, it'll be great.
Meanwhile, Scott Pruitt, the Attorney General of Oklahoma, got a grilling from Democratic senators on Wednesday during his U.S. Senate confirmation hearing to head the Trump Administration Environmental Protection Agency. An agency he spent his political career attacking. Pruitt has no environmental accomplishments, but has sued the agency numerous times on behalf of corporate polluters to block, delay, or weaken pollution standards that protect public health, clean air, and clean water, and fight climate change. A big question is whether Pruitt will recuse himself from the lawsuits he launched against the EPA as Oklahoma Attorney General. If confirmed, he could revise or cancel those regulations or settle those lawsuits. That's a huge conflict of interest, as noted by Democratic Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts.
If you don't agree to recuse yourself, then again, you become plaintiff, defendant, judge, and jury on the cases that you're bringing that right now as Attorney General of Oklahoma against the EPA.
So he's talking about the idea that Pruitt could settle EPA lawsuits that he himself has filed. He would be settling suits that he has filed now against himself?
Settling with himself, yes.
Nice work if you can get it.
Pruitt disagrees with Donald Trump that climate change is a hoax, but he is skeptical of how much human activity is to blame and what, if anything, government should do about it.
Science tells us that the climate is changing, and then human activity in some manner impacts that change. The ability to measure with precision the degree and extent of that impact and what to do about it, are subject to continuing debate and dialogue, and well, it should be.
Notice what he did there. He slipped in two things. He said how much man is involved in climate change is subject to debate, and what we should do about it is subject to debate. That last part is true. That first part is false.
Meanwhile, Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke also peddled a similar dodge in his confirmation hearing to head the Interior Department. That manages the nation's public lands and natural resources. Like Pruitt, Zinke, too, questions the man-made part of man-made climate change, but he threaded a bipartisan needle on balancing conservation and industrial development. He supports fossil fuel extraction on public lands, but he's against privatizing them.
I want to be clear on this point. I am absolutely against transfer or sale of public land.
Good. That's a clear
answer. Can't be any more clear.
No, you can't. Thank you.
So far, all of Trump's cabinet nominees have transitioned to that next stage of climate change denial, that denying the global science consensus that humans are to blame for global warming and debating the necessity of phasing out fossil fuels to avoid catastrophic impact. Meanwhile, a new Reuters poll finds that more than 60% of Americans want to see the EPA's authority preserved and strengthened, and they want to see the drilling of oil on public lands either hold steady or decline. Against that backdrop of denial, NASA and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, made it official. 2016 was the hottest year on record globally since record-keeping began in the 1880s, breaking the record for the third year in a row, which is in itself also a record. The New York Times reports, quote, temperatures are heading toward levels that many experts believe will pose a threat to both the natural world and human civilization, and will continue to exceed records. Finally, some good news. The Obama administration gave another last-minute gift to the world, fulfilling a promise made under the historic United Nations Paris Agreement, paying another $500 million into the UN Green Climate Fund that helps developing nations prepare for climate impacts and leapfrog to renewable energy. That money can't be taken back.
And not a moment too soon, literally in every way. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we could not get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. We'd also appreciate your support to help us stay on the air by stopping by bradblog.com/donate. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Okay, what's with the Kansas fixation, Brad and Desi? That's like twice in a week or so. I mean, what, we had Dust in the Wind not too long back. Somebody having a 70s flashback thing going on? About 24 minutes past the hour on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, and I'm feeling a little stuck. But, you know, we'll survive. We get through this stuff together. Hey, let's run over and check in with Tracy. What's happening, Tracy?
Me?
I do.
Awesome. So the doomsday clock, huh, Bob?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Isn't that awesome?
I mean, no. Great. Something else. I needed a fresh nightmare, Tracy.
Well, you know, that's what I'm here for. To give you the bugaboos and the chilly willies. And the creepy crawlies. That's my, you know. God.
Ain't it wonderful?
It is. It did 2 minutes, too. The last time it didn't move that fast was 2 years ago. And it was only like a minute, but 2 minutes. So how far are we away from midnight now?
Well, no, we're at 2.5 minutes right now.
Right.
I think we were at 3.
Right.
Because over the last 8 years, we've gotten a little bit of stability. maybe that had something to do with having a Nobel Prize winning science advisor or the head of physics at MIT as science advisor. That's all over now, Tracy.
Yes. And speaking of scientists, did you hear about how they're, you know, scientists are like, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and run for office.
Yeah, I love that. And
I think it's
and,
awesome.
And I hope they've got good, thick alligator hides because the Koch brothers and all the various and sundry Trumpansy organizations will come after them with a will.
Well, I bet he don't even believe in God because he's one of them scientists.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, because, you know, you can't be a scientific person and also have faith. That's, you know, no.
Let's remember that the word science comes from the Latin verb scio scire, which just means knowing things. So scientists are just thing knowers.
They know shit.
So, you know, Cletus down in Busted Knuckle, Alabama. Well, I know some shit too. I know to calibrate the timing on a small block Chevy V8. Yeah, I bet you them scientists can't do that.
Yeah. But when your Chevy V8 gets taken up in a tornado, swept away in a hurricane or a tsunami.
Oh, and by the way, did you notice that while the sallow Sulla was getting ready to send the feds into Chicago to clean up their carnage, did you notice he kind of forgot to sign the disaster declarations for Georgia and Florida and Alabama?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, God will provide.
Mm-hmm. See, again, shitstorm tsunami?
Oh, the fecal tsunami?
Fecal tsunami. Yes. The fecal tsunami. I mean, but did you see here by our governor basically giving Trump, like, you know what? Keep pushing, motherfucker. Keep pushing. And we're going to talk. We're done. We are so done. California is just like, it's just, you know, it's.
I know.
It is just beyond me. I can't wrap my head around some of the nonsense of just, and then he's still going on and on about the election. Well, it was massive voter fraud, you know, and I read the Pew report. Okay, first of all, you didn't read the Pew report.
Because it don't say that.
See, that's the beautiful thing about statistics, you know, and you cited your source. So that's awesome that you cited your source, because people like you and me can go back and actually look at the source, right?
It helps. You can, right?
You know, and say, no, that's not what it said. No, because see, it's like I was telling Jed, you know, about how even though my sister moved to Oregon years ago, right? She changed her address and all that, but she was still getting voter registration stuff at our old address. But that didn't mean she voted there, right?
Right. And it doesn't mean she was double registered either.
Exactly. Just because, and then it's like the people who died. Just because if somebody dies, you think one of the things on their relative's mind is, oh, gee, let's go make sure that they don't get voter information sent to them anymore, or whatever you have to do to tell them that they died. You really think they're going to go through all that?
It seems like a bit much to me.
I mean. Speaking of, you know, it's the stupid things that Pete is, speaking of stupid and too much trouble than more is worth, I guess, you know, I've been working diligently on cleaning up my credit. As a matter of fact, I got all the negatives off my credit report. Yay. So I get a collection notice today in the mail for 20, are you ready for this?
No, and if you say, go, yeah.
$21.97 for a magazine subscription.
Wait, you got a collection? They're dunning you over a good magazine?
Right. Now, I paid it, okay? Now, so here's the deal. So I called my bank because I checked. Because fortunately, I paid with a check. But unfortunately, I guess they did the ACH thingy or whatever, and there's no image of the check. So that means I have to go to my branch, some kind of record number showing the transaction. I have the duplicate of the check, so I got to make a copy. All of this for $21.97, Bob.
Well, and see, that's the thing. They will, they'll go ahead. There's a lot of money to be made in billing people for shit they don't owe, Tracy. You know that, right? Because there's a lot of honest American people who will just get a bill and go, well, if they're sending me a bill, I must owe it. Tracy? Tracy? I think Tracy's driving. She must have just exited off of the 205 and onto the 4 and 7/16. Are you there, Tracy?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
So like you were saying, the last thing I heard you say was there's a lot of money to be made.
Yeah, there's a lot of money to be made in billing people for shit they don't owe. Because a lot of the American people are just honest enough, they go, well, if I got a bill for it, I better pay it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not paying it. Because first of all, it's the collection. So that means it's a paid collection. And anybody that knows about your credit report, you don't want a paid collection. It's just, you might as well just leave the collection on your credit report for 7 years. You know, unless you come to an agreement with the collection company, collection agency, and they say paid as agreed. So it doesn't show it as a paid collection. Because a paid collection is just as bad as a collection. But the thing is, it's just the stupidity of the things that I'm going to have to go through for $21.97. Oh, and here's the kicker. The collection agency, there's no phone number. You can only communicate through them through email or fax.
Well, that makes it a little harder to sue them under the under any relevant consumer protection unfair debt collection practices statutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, because as I'm thinking about all this and what I'm about to go through and all this, and I'm thinking about all the people that don't know as much as I know about debt collection and what you can and cannot do as far as the collection agencies. But then again, I'm also thinking about the people who are now running our country and how those protections are going to be, you know, I don't know, taken away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's, you know, the EPA, you know, the guy trying to take it, is, like they said, has sued the EPA on numerous occasions. Okay? And the whole thing about, did you tweet about Feinstein voting for Sessions? Saying yes to Sessions, my senator.
Well, she has not said she will vote against him, and her office says that she's just not really getting that much pushback about it.
That's a lie. That's a lie. Really? She's gonna go with that one? So what? Okay, here's my question. Okay, so say that she's not getting a lot of pushback. Okay. Because I don't know for a fact that there was a march in front of her offices the other day about, and that's just out here in LA. So you're going to, but okay, aside from that, say that's true, that she hasn't gotten a lot of pushback about Sessions. How about this? What about you, just your own damn conscience, bitch? What about that?
Well, it depends on who you're listening to, but there are a lot of progressives who say that she's not got a lot of conscience.
I'm not surprised. It's just, see, she's a rich white woman. What does she care? Somebody like Sessions is not going to rock her. Is not going to do anything to her. She's not gay. She's not black. She's not Hispanic.
No, and apparently, according to Andy in Redwood City, she missed that Canadian drug importation vote on account of she was having a pacemaker put in.
So she doesn't have a heart.
Well, there's that. So I've been looking on my Twitter feed because I wanted to get this absolutely right. Senator Feinstein may vote yes on Sessions. A staffer said they'd only received 5,000 calls compared to 30,000 calls to impeach Bill Clinton.
I
understand the lay of the land here. I understand the guy's going to get confirmed because there aren't any non-racist Republicans. Okay? That's just how it goes. But this, he is a white line in the sand that draws itself. And if you're Ed Markey in Massachusetts or Elizabeth Warren, if you're that fake Democrat in Talibandiana.
Even more fake than your senator?
They're equally kind of fakey. If you're DiFi, if you're brand new Senator Kamala Harris, if you're Jeff Merkley or Ron Wyden or Maria Cantwell, or Patty Murray. Now, see, I just covered the entire West Coast there.
Yeah, you did.
If you vote for the nomination of Look, as far as I'm concerned, Jeff Sessions is the benchmark standard of whether or not there's going to be an opposition in the Senate of the United States.
Right. Absolutely.
And it will also tell us where we're going to be when whichever nasty-ass fascist gets nominated to the seat that Barack Obama should have filled, except that's not something black guys get to do in their final year being president.
Right.
I mean, I read an article earlier today saying Democrats appear to be taking a hard-line stance against Trump. I just laugh, Tracy.
When they start talking about Democrats taking off, oh my God, I was listening to somebody the other day on KPFK talking about the weak-willed Democrats. He said the Democrats are about as strong, the Democrats are as weak as Canadian hot sauce.
Ooh, that's cold. And the Canadians are not going to like that at all.
No, I just apologized, Ron.
I'm getting emails now about DiFi.
I didn't say it.
Yeah. Matt in San Francisco said Feinstein's a Dino, has been for quite a while. She was all right as a San Francisco supervisor, a decent mayor. Started out all right as a senator. However, over time, she's morphed into serving the moneyed class. Her hubby makes quite a nice living via the armaments industry. And then Dan said, I'm letting you know I tried calling DiFi too. Her mailbox is full. The best I could do is email her office.
I've been calling too, and I get a busy signal. So, okay. So, like you said, maybe, you know, how many other people she's saying, claiming has called, but kind of hard to call if I keep getting a busy signal. Right?
And do you get the idea maybe you're supposed to get that busy signal?
Yes. It's like, you know, see, remember back in the day, we didn't want to talk to somebody. What did you do?
Take the phone off the hook. Yep. Oh, by the way,
the phone.
I'd just like to point out that even when he tries to do the right thing, he screws up. This is a different story. Even when he tries to do the right thing, he screws up. Series of tweets from Lindsey Graham down there on the fainting couch there at the family ancestral estate of Smoldering Chode.
Well, he's clutching his pearls. Don't forget that.
Yeah, he doesn't like this business with needling Mexico and poisoning our relationship with our third largest trading partner. You know, because they are. He said, any tariff we can levy, they can levy. It could be a huge barrier to economic growth. Okay, good for you. Good for you, Lindsey. I mean,
go ahead. Go, Lindsey.
Right, but then...
because
he's got to be just a little bit precious, and he's got to be seen as being one of them Republicans with a little bit of a sense of humor. Now, when a Southern Republican has a sense of humor... What kind of humor you reckon it's going to be, Miss Tracy?
I reckon, Mr. Bob, that it's going to be racial.
Simply put, and this is his tweet, it is a real tweet from Lindsey Graham. Simply put, any policy proposal which drives up costs of Corona, tequila, or margaritas is a big-time bad idea. Mucho sad.
Oh! See, remember, I get better on this one, did you? You know, because we were trying to say, remember the other day when we were playing Who Said That?
Yeah.
So I think, have I redeemed myself?
Oh, you're there. You're right there. You got it. Mucho sad.
Corona is
pass me a
Budweiser, by the way.
Pass me a tissue, John.
Is the Budweiser or Miller? One of the two.
You know, long, long ago, when my dad was teaching me the things one knows to be a, needs to know to be a man, he said, never drink beer out of a clear glass bottle. Because it's bad for the beer. The light is bad for the beer.
Okay.
And he said, green glass is okay, brown glass is your best bet. Because it stopped, apparently... I'm going to get an email from some science person who's going to say, that's all bullshit, Bob. But I hate Corona.
It's piss water. Even I know that.
Well, way back when I was just a little baby journalist at CNN, my boss grew up in, you know, like south of San Diego or something. And he said, man, when we were young, we used to cross the border and we'd get cases of Corona for $2.50 a case. That stuff's shit. But they buy a sponsorship with Jimmy Buffett, and all of a sudden all the white people going, woo, give me a Corona. Yeehaw.
Mm-hmm.
Cinco de Mayo, y'all.
Speaking of Cinco de Mayo, I'm actually thinking about having a Cinco de Mayo party this year because on a Friday.
Maybe things being what they are, you might want to check the calendar and find out what is the day that Mexico venerates the San Patricio Brigade.
Oh, of course. I'm at the point where any excuse for me to drink. I mean, within my points for Weight Watchers.
God, you're so responsible.
You know what? I actually measured wine the other day.
You measured wine?
Shh, don't. Remember, I'm fighting the Battle of the Bulge, and I've been fighting this battle for 20 years, and I think there might be a breakthrough. It's been so cold here, Bob. It's been ice on the windshields. I mean, and I'm not talking frost, actual ice.
Wait, are you still in LA?
Yes. And I've been getting up every morning at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I do two workouts. I do a walk run, and then I do this thing called the Simply Fit board, where you stand on this crazy board and you try to balance yourself, and then you twist. Yeah, that's fun. So, but yes, my resolve is great, because I'm like, anybody that would get, it was 32 degrees this morning when I went out and walked.
You heard what it was here yesterday, right?
No. What
happened? No. It was 68. It was 68 degrees here yesterday.
But what time? How cold was it in the morning when you woke up?
Oh, when we woke up, it was maybe 45.
Say that one more time.
45.
See.
But there's no climate change.
Yeah, no. Because for it to be 32 degrees in L.A., that's not good, Bob.
Well, you're getting precisely zero sympathy from Marty up toward Sacramento.
Well, I know that. Look, I did not call for sympathy. I cannot call for sympathy considering what is happening in the rest of the country. I don't do sympathy when it comes to weather, and I live in California. Well, and on top of that, Southern California. The only person whose weather that's better than mine is Scott's. Okay? So as far as California weather is concerned. So I can't complain. I could just be shocked and appalled. How's that? I'm not complaining. Just not even appalled.
You're really going out of your way to make sure people know that you're not complaining.
I'm not complaining. I mean, I got up and look, how can I complain? I'm the stupid one that got up and walked and it was 37 degrees this morning. I did that to myself. Nobody made me. Nobody put a gun. The only person, well, somebody did put a gun to my head is called my waistline. So nobody forced me to do this. I did it all on my own. So, you know, it's all on me. But man, this morning, it was just crazy. I've never had to deal with ice on the windshield before. I've lived in LA for 50 years. And out of those 50, 37 of which, yes, I started driving at 13, 37 of which I've been driving. 25 of which of those I've lived in the valley. So I've never seen ice on the windshield. I couldn't, and I don't have an ice scraper. Why would I have an ice scraper? What are those? I've heard of them. I've seen
them. That's right. Yeah, that's like owning snowshoes in Miami.
Right. I mean, when I think of an ice scraper, I only thing I could think of is William H. Macy in Fargo.
That's a good reference.
Trying to scrape the ice. Hey, I have my moments. Trying to scrape the ice off of his windshield and getting so frustrated, it started just beating the car with the ice scraper. Like I said, these things I don't get. So I do often, apparently I have a pretty darn good defroster because it got it off, but it took a minute. I'm like, this is actual ice. What the heck?
Oh, because you don't usually have to wait for the car to warm up, do you? Okay.
No. Well, see, okay, now, back in the day before, you know, newer cars, you know, you, no matter what kind of, where you live, you have to wait for the car to warm up. It's like waiting for the TV to warm up.
No, I mean, like, you know, when it gets... And we're going to get back to blue-ass cold here in a couple of days here.
Did you just say blue-ass cold?
Blue-ass cold.
You got to give yourself a cowbell on that one.
Oh, no. Hell no. That's old.
Well, for me...
So cold your ass turns blue.
See, again, two things that will never happen. Okay, since my ass is pretty damn black, you know, who would know if it turned blue? And again, one of those things, since I don't live somewhere where it gets particularly cold. I mean, you know, like I said, here people start whining when it gets below.
Well, seven. if you don't have a garage or a porte cochere, then you put on as much clothes as you can stand, and you run screaming out to the car. You unlock it, you open it up, you jump in, you start it up, you make sure that the blower's on high and the thermostat's on 90, and then you run your ass back in the house and wait for about 30 minutes and just heat up the planet for a while.
Wow. Nope. 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 Mm-mm. Again, not something I've ever experienced. It is not, no. I'm sorry, no. These are those things. This is one of those reasons why, you know, even with climate change, our weather is pretty cool. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, we've been in we're Sparky. How long have we been in a drought? 5 years now? 6 years?
Well, their drought's over.
Yeah, for now. You know, we had, I was listening to the news, our rain fall was 218% over what we've had in the, but I still want more rain, because I like that, you know, I like it when it's green. It's been so nice looking in the hills, and they're actually green.
Well, Sparky says to tell you that water is on the way, and sent me a picture of Shasta Dam plumb chock full of life-giving water.
Thank you, Sparky, for the.
Oh, and by the way, you can celebrate the San Patricio Brigade on St. Patrick's Day.
Cool.
March 17th.
Another drinking hobby. See, things, it's like, you know, I think the alcohol companies have made up these holidays just so people can have an excuse to drink. Well, not St. Patrick's Day, because that's been around long before, you know, Budweiser and all that.
Well, look, no. But I mean, okay, so you just opened this door. I mentioned this briefly when we were talking about Dr. King's holiday. Do you know what the real breakthrough was in turning that into a federal holiday?
What was it? Because it's not a drinking holiday. What is it?
No, it's when a member of Congress went to the business world and said, listen, we're going to make sure it's always a Monday holiday, so it'll be a 3-day weekend, so you guys can have car sales and sell greeting cards, and it'll be an exercise in capitalism. Cool? And they said, well, for that, we could do it. So, yeah, okay, we'll have a holiday for Dr. King as long as we can make a dollar off of him. And wouldn't that be ironic, because he didn't like capitalism?
Right. He railed against capitalism. See, you know, and here's another conversation about Dr. King and his politics, and how Republicans are so quick to say, you know, Dr. King would, as far as the Black Lives Matter and the riots and stuff like that. They're so quick to say, well, he would be so, he's turning in his grave and would not support Black Lives Matter. How many times was King arrested, Bob?
Jesus, I mean, John Lewis was arrested, what, 60-plus times?
Okay. And what were they out there doing, protesting what? Brutality?
Yeah.
Segregation?
Yeah, how about we just lump it all under injustice?
Injustice. Okay. Yeah, because the list is long.
And now, like Carol was talking about last night, with this law that's being proposed in Louisiana, Dr. King and John Lewis would be charged with felony resisting arrest and a hate crime.
Right.
For just sitting there.
Right.
Or, you know, getting the near the life beat out of him by the Alabama troopers on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, the guy getting the hell beat out of him is committing a hate crime.
Right.
See, that's what, Tracy, I think we really need to get our heads around that, because that's what fascism looks like. Because none of us know, none of us have been around long enough, none of us have lived in places where it was really up and running. This is what fascism looks like. The cop beats the shit out of you, and you get charged with a hate crime.
Right. Are we living in a bizarro world? I mean, that's like, well, that's right up with the thing about blaming the victim. It's like having a woman that was raped. Well, if you hadn't been dressed that way, you wouldn't have gotten raped. Right?
Yeah, and I kind of got one for you.
Okay.
You're driving, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm stuck in traffic, so it's okay. I'm not going at a really, you know, substantial rate of speed. So
okay. By the way, quick update. St. Patrick's Day is on a Friday this year. Marty checked that out for you.
Thank you, Marty.
So that might be, you know, just to sort of an events a little bit of, because Donald Trump is not in the right. And I will not support my country when my country is in the wrong.
In the wrong.
And this dumbass wall is not just dumbass, it is wrong. It's wicked.
On top of the fact that we'll have to pay for it.
I mean, what happens if they have to cut some property into and some of somebody's property is on the other side of the wall?
Right. Then what?
I mean, do they have to drive 500 miles to go to their backyard? To the nearest gate in the wall? See, this, Tracy, really, this is proof of what an unlearned, incurious, unintelligent man Donald Trump is, because he doesn't even know the lesson of the Great Wall of China.
Right.
To this day, an engineering and construction marvel, and as quick as it was done, the people on the other side of the wall just bribed the gatekeeper and came through anyway.
Right. Hello, you stupid bastard.
So anyway, let's go to New Mexico, shall we?
Oh, why?
Because
it smell like meth and gun oil?
No. Damn it. No, that's West Virginia.
New Mexico.
And you know, New Mexico and West Virginia have that in common. Nobody knows we're really a state. Most of the country thinks New Mexico is, you know, Mexico. And most of Mexico. And most of America thinks West Virginia is part of Virginia.
Is Virginia.
Let's go to Carl's
designation.
Carlsbad City, New Mexico, where there's a city councilman named J.R. Doporto.
Doporto?
D-O-P-O-R-T-O, yes. And he was pissed off by all them women what went on that march. And so, he went on Facebook.
Oh, no. Facebook is...
Do you keep a hockey puck in the car?
Actually, we have... I could get one out of Will's bag if necessary.
Well, I mean, at the very least...
I do have tape.
Well, you can just bite down on the shoulder harness of your seatbelt if need be.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Everybody else, go for the hockey puck, okay? Just want to give a heads up to the women. You have rights. A right to cook and a right to clean. Today is Sunday and the NFL playoffs are on. I suggest you stop your bitching and protesting during this time, because you also have a right to get slapped.
Oh, okay.
And then he was contacted by the Santa Fe Reporter, a newspaper, and he said, "Well, I was only joking."
Why is it that when they get called on it, I was just kidding? You took it Or what's the other one? You took it out. It was taken out of context.
Yeah, yeah, I was thumbing my nose at what was taking place. Enough already. Let's get on. Women have had rights for years that I've been alive. I don't see no rights they don't have that a man has. When are they going to get on and move on? I believe if a Democratic president was elected, Hillary, I don't think we would have had those protests. And you know what? We wouldn't have, Tracy, because Hillary didn't run around talking about how she enjoyed taking a Tic Tac and then grabbing women by their genitals.
Right.
Now, I mean, granted, she's
the devil.
Where's the reverb?
You didn't get the reverb?
Didn't get the reverb.
God damn it, the cats have reprogrammed the mixer again. Son of a bitch.
There was no reverb. It's not the same.
Well, everybody else got the reverb. But, I mean, granted, she's the devil, and she was going to start World War III with Russia because Russia's just all snuggly and cuddly, and pooty-poot wouldn't hurt a fly. But the reason women were marching is because he's so odious to women. I don't see no rights they don't have that a man has. Well, I tell you what, JR, you just call me when you need an abortion, all right, sugar?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, these people.
I know.
Oh, my God. I'm still smarting about Elizabeth Warren. Her and our boy Ben Carson.
Sleepy?
Where is the resistance? Where is the resistance, Bob? They would talk a big game, you know, big time. We're going to resist. We're going to not let these nominations go through easily. We're going to fight them tooth and nail on this. I don't see any teeth or nails, do you?
No. No.
I see gumming. I see, toothless, flatless. Where do we start? I can only do so much. You can only do so much. There's those times where I'm feeling absolutely helpless. That, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, nothing's going to be done. But then I think about, we do have a voice. We can't, we can do things by marching and protesting, but the only way we're going to change this shit is if people run for office. But like you said, first of all, they're going to be incredibly thick-skinned. Because, people don't want to go, it's not like back in the day, you go down to your city, your county registrar's office, and register, you put up a few flyers, go to a town hall meeting or two, shake a few, what do you call it? Shake a few hands? No, shake a few babies, kiss a few hands or whatever, and you run for office. And you get to know the people, you get to know your electorate. It didn't take, it took money, but not a lot of money. But now, how can anybody that's like a good person run for office, especially if they're not, if they don't get the backing from the Republican or the Democratic
Well, look, I applaud them. I want them to run for office, but I want them to run with their eyes wide open and realize that they will be wholeheartedly opposed by the upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexuals because Jeebus. Because Jeebus wasn't,
right.
Jeebus wasn't no scientist, and it don't take no scientist to get saved.
Oh, my God. My mom and I have been having not heated discussions about this country. And I'm like, this country was not founded for religious purposes. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, it does talk about, by your creator. It doesn't say God. because everybody's creator wasn't God.
Well, it's, I mean, that they are endowed by their creator is Declaration of Independence language, one. And so that's not, you know, that's not a governing document. That's a, the Declaration of Independence is a propaganda document. Okay.
We just, I like propaganda on a certain extent. Yeah. But go ahead.
But the word their creator was used to satisfy not only the Anglicans and the Puritans and the Congregationalists, but also the deists, which were a substantial number. Deists are the closest we would say, they were the late 18th century version of an agnostic or a free thinker. For instance, just as a reminder, a lot of people already know this, in one of his, when he had a little downtime one time, Thomas Jefferson went through the New Testament and took all the miracles out.
And what was left?
Well, what was left was a fairly, maybe it was just the Gospels, but he took all the miracles out, and it becomes pretty much an existential statement for how to go about living.
Which is how I use it.
Right. But they were, you know, deists said, well, there's something going on creator-wise, but we don't know what it is. And you know, they were educated within the parameters of what we know as a classical liberal arts education. So they were well familiar with Aristotle's clockmaker idea, the prime mover who gets everything going and then steps back and watches the dominoes fall. And that's what they were talking about. And that's how you, that's what, you know, and once you know that, when you see these right-wing evangelicals like David Barton saying, well, everybody knows, I mean, he wrote about it all the time, Thomas Jefferson had a deep, personal, abiding, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
No, he didn't.
He's lying.
He's lying. Lie,
so he,
on fire.
And everybody was pretty happy with it back then too. The phrase separation between church and state, a wall of separation between church and state, doesn't appear in the Constitution. It's not in the First Amendment. It comes from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote back to the Danbury, Connecticut Baptists. Okay, the Danbury, Connecticut Baptists had written to Jefferson saying, "Listen, you know, we're." And because, see, back then they were. We're kind of a persecuted minority here, and we don't want the government coming down on us for being Baptists. And Jefferson wrote back and said, and the government never will, because the First Amendment sets up a wall between church and state, and you are free to believe as you wish, because the government is not going to adopt any religious doctrine.
Hello.
And they were happy with it, and everybody was pretty happy with it. Until the right-wing evangelical religion industry decided that they wanted to create a theocracy here. And that happens in the late 70s with the rise of Jerry Falwell.
Falwell. Is he dead yet?
Oh, he's been dead. He's been turning on the spit for a decade or more now. As he got close to checking out, though, he went to the hospital several times and had his sorry ass saved by Muslim doctors. You know, Muslim cardiologists and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who of course are going to hell.
Right. But they saved your sorry ratchet ass.
Right, exactly. Well, Tracy, you have yourself a lovely evening. I've got to roll because I got all kinds of people calling in now that you've called in.
Yeah, see, it's my fault. I do that.
No, you did. No, you get people worked up. You get them going.
Good. Good, good, good. That's what I try to do.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
All right, my darling. Well, you have a great rest of the evening. How many subscribers is it besides the one anymore?
We still got four to go. And okay. I think I kind of hurt the effort because we're trying to feverishly raise up 2 weeks worth of fundraising in one so that I can go to Washington, D.C. and do this work and not sit there worrying about whether or not I'm going to be able to get home or whether the power is still going to be on when we get back.
When are you going? When are you leaving? Is that next week?
Yeah, I'm leaving Sunday, and I'll be back. I'll be back Saturday.
Okay. Well, if I don't speak,
yeah, nobody's going with me. It's just me leaving, and And, you know, so I fret about, I worry about, you know, Agnes and the boy and Margie and, you know, all of that.
It'll work out.
I hope so. We've knocked it down to only $75 to go, so that's pretty freaking okay. Awesome.
Well, you guys, as I give my parting glasses are, you know, send money. Quit playing. I know a lot of people aren't able, but those of us who are, send money. Come on now. $5.
And by the way, you have been told by Clarity to ditch the wine and start drinking liquor. That's where we are now, Tracy.
I know, but and I have liquor. I still have that rum you told me about. The
Barbancourt?
Yes.
Any time now.
So when I got brought rum home from where did I go? From Honduras. So I'm ready.
And of course for St. Patrick's, you're going to want a little Irish whiskey laying around.
Yes, I have Irish whiskey as well. I pretty much have a fully stocked bar. I'm just waiting for you to come out to here, Bob.
I'm trying.
I'm doing all
I'm
this for you.
I am trying, Tracy.
I am doing all of this for you because I don't even really drink. I'm buying premium liquor just for you. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right. Well, don't hide the key to the cabinet, okay?
Oh, it's wide open because I don't drink. Really.
Tracy, you have a good night, dear.
You too, my dear. Good night.
Bye now. From somewhere out on the 105 or the 602 or the 12 and 9:32, that's Tracy, the lady cab driver. Thanks, Frank. Thanks very kindly. It was Frank who took us down to only $75 to go in fundraising for the evening, so that is awesome. Thank you, Frank. Courtesy of Mike, a quick update. Carlsbad City Councilor, J.R., what was his name again? He's been fired from his main job. Mike said, stupid fucker got fired from his main job for it. Yeah, because see, in 2017, you don't get to plead, well, hell, I was only kidding, when you start talking about women have a right to be slapped. Counselor J.R. DoPorto was a network engineer for an oil company called Holly Frontier Corporation, and Holly Frontier Corporation said to him, you're fired. Yeah. So we got that going for us. And then there's one other little thing. By the way, as to deists, Earther says, yeah, I'm an atheist. If God or something exists, human beings are fundamentally incapable of understanding it or communicating with it, like a human trying to have a dialogue with an ant. Right, what does God need with a starship? I don't know if Michael and Madison's listening, but we got some news out of Madison. Daniel Dropick is a student at UW-Madison, the wonderful campus. It's like Austin with 8 feet of snow. Daniel Dropick also works in the university's information technology department. And he's trying to start an alt-right, white nationalist, Eurocentric, white supremacist group there on the campus of UW. Story's over at the Wisconsin State Journal. He said, We're going to have a mission to fight practices, college practices, and policies that are hostile to students and faculty of European ethnic background and traditional values. Predictably, some students are intolerant toward us and seem determined to undermine us. And we're going to fight anti-white racism on campus. Anti-white racism. I always get a chuckle out of that. This is in the aftermath of UW. There's a lot of classes there. It's a big school. But there's a class called The Problem of Whiteness and another class about deconstructing toxic masculinity. And so enter the white supremacists. Oops. If you're going to start a neo-Nazi white supremacist organization, you probably should not have a felony rap sheet for burning down black churches. Because dude does. He got a 5-year sentence in federal prison for setting fire to 2 black churches, one in Milwaukee and the other in Lansing, Michigan. He intentionally sought out black churches as racial retaliation. Yeah. No word yet on whether or not he still has a job or is still a student. You'd kind of like for him to still be a student because maybe somewhere along the way, oh boy, am I a liberal. Jesus. You hope that he might get involved in a class that would teach him that, you know, the only race on planet Earth from a human perspective is the human race, and there's no planet B, and he's in no, he's under no threat of being overwhelmed by people with skin that isn't quite as pale as his. Why is he in the IT department? Because, frankly, Wisconsin, the university's admissions department, is forbidden by law from asking applicants about their criminal history. But yeah, he's a church burning Kliegel wannabe. Yeah. 19 minutes past the hour. If you want to get involved in the program, lines are open 304-574-8178. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn from anywhere on the planet. And of course, the stress line, named for Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. 304-663-4676. Thanks, Tom. Tom sending a note from California. Best of luck in the important trip. It baffles me how anyone could not be in support of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. All right, let's check in with John up in Central PA. Hey, John.
Hey, Bob. How you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good, I think.
By the time you get back on the air in 2 weeks, we could be living in a different world.
You know, I was thinking about that, John. It's great minds think alike. I have never left. I've never left the program for any extended period of time. Be it you know, a 1 week trip, or you know, we used to take 1 month trips and broadcast from DC. But I've never left the broadcast wondering what the hell would the world be like when I got back in a week. Well, that's where we live now.
Yep. Oh, yeah. At this rate, I mean, we're not even a week in, and the government has been completely, you know, turned on its head. I mean, not even just the government. I mean, really the institutions, any kind of institution. You know, I know that some of it needs changes, but wow. They don't need to be completely taken over and then just shattered the way that they are right now. And they're playing with people's lives here. I mean, just the Rick Perry alone, all right, how he didn't even know that he was going to be in charge of the deadliest nuclear arsenal on the entire planet until like a week before he, you know, was to assume the position. He thought he was going to be a lobbyist for the oil companies or something.
Well, that's what Rick Perry thought he was going to be when he was found out he was going to be Secretary of Energy. I'm going to be a goodwill ambassador for the oil and gas industry. What? I'm going to have to look out for the nuclear arsenal. Shit.
Yeah, and the only reason why he put him in that position is because Trump or somebody else, I don't think Trump really makes these picks. I think it's other people in his cabal, remembered that Republican debate where he was asked to name the three departments he was going to get rid of if he were to become president. And he said, what was it, Department of Education? And the one that he could not remember was the Department of Energy. So there's a twofer right there. There's one.
Yeah, that's when he said, oops.
Yeah, exactly. So these people that decided to put him in that position said, well, because it's pretty clear that we're seeing a pattern with these nominees for the cabinet, that every single one of them, of course, I mean, you've talked about it, Malloy has talked about it, they all hate the department that they're going to head up. Why not? And you know, these conservatives, they want to get rid of all that shit. So why not have – what better person to head these departments or what better person to destroy the departments that the conservatives just so really want to get rid of than to have somebody who despises that department run it?
Exactly.
It's like having a criminal run, you know, the police department.
Or I don't know, or having a child sexual abuser run a church. Wait, that happens.
That happens all over. Yeah, it's crazy. And you know, Bob, I think we really need a revolution. I mean, I'm not trying to incite, I'm not saying like a civil war or anything. I'm saying an absolute full-fledged revolution in every sense. I think it's starting.
Except
up,
the
I
gunfire and the bloodshed.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not that I don't want, you know, I don't think we can have an actual, you know, revolutionary war because they would just quite literally bulldoze over anybody that stands in their way. I mean, they got all the weaponry at their disposal that they ever need. The technology, I mean, they got technology that we probably don't, that is probably isn't even available to the public. I mean, so that, you know, that would never work anyway, even if we were violent people, but we're not.
Well, but we are. Wait, John, we are. We are intense. We're some of the most violent people on Earth. We've got what, twice as many firearms in this country as we have people? And everybody's not out deer hunting and squirrel hunting with them, okay? Because I would dare say the vast majority of them are handguns. And we are a violent people. I'm still not over Sandy Hook up in Newtown, Connecticut. And I'm not over the Pulse nightclub. And I'm not over Charleston, and I'm not over Aurora, and I'm not over Tucson. I'm not over San Bernardino, as the Elder Cruz called it.
Right.
We are. We're soaked in blood here. It's just that the Civil War. I've called it a cold Civil War for years now, but it has these little ad hoc breakouts of hotness.
Yeah.
Because these aren't, I mean, understand, these aren't all a bunch of liberals going out and gunning down good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians.
Yeah.
As often as not, these are the Christians going out and blowing away various and sundry innocents.
Right. And yet, they'll be like, you libtards are afraid of guns. Stuff like that, you know? And, well, you were talking about the guy that got shot in Seattle, right? Well, I saw a headline that said, Dems in a nutshell, : shooting victim in Seattle, shot by alt-right Trump supporter or something, says he's not going to press charges. I mean,
well, never mind what the shooting victim said. The night that the shooting went down, John, the Seattle police investigated the shooter. He confessed, and they let him go because he said, "I was only defending myself."
Yeah.
When the video footage was there to show that he had been acting as a provocateur in the crowd for at least an hour or more.
Right. Well, I didn't see the video. I think I heard a snippet of it. And that's what were the police department thinking? And they're supposed to be a somewhat progressive type police department. You know, they're supposed to be a pretty good police department.
Well, it's a progressive town. There's lots of stuff about the Seattle PD out there. I mean, I remember going back years ago now, one night, a story about a young black man who was doing absolutely nothing, got attacked by a white winger, and the cops came and beat the shit out of the black guy.
Well, really? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. Yeah, the town is progressive. The cops ain't necessary. This is not to say there aren't any, John, but there aren't a lot of progressive police departments. Now, there's a big deal going down because, what is it? Maybe it's a little town in Georgia. I'm not sure. But is going to offer a formal apology for a 1940 lynching in which the local police department looked the other way, and it is the first time that has ever happened.
The first time that they ever apologized?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And we're in 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
77 years ago.
Wow. And it's only a matter of time before stuff like that starts happening again. Because we've been dialed back a couple of, at least a few decades. And not only that, I mean, what we're seeing right now, good now, I can't fathom it. I never would have ever guessed it in all my life to see what's going on here. You know, I'm wondering do you think that this administration is going to have a war? Because I heard you're talking about Mexico and a possible war with them, which I don't think Mexico would dare to try to have a war with us. But
what are they supposed to do? Just surrender because we saber rattle at them? I mean, we're blackmailing them. We're extorting them. We're telling them that we're going to do them tremendous harm if they don't pay to build a $1 trillion wall.
Wow, I never even thought about that. How extortion? I never even thought about that. That is such a great way to describe it. That is exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. How is that not breaking some kind of international law? You're exactly right.
We don't care about international law. International law? We don't need a stinking international law.
Yeah. Apparently not with this guy. This guy doesn't care about international law. And I'm on the same camp that you're in, that he's never going to get impeached. Like Malloy says about every single night, he goes, he will be impeached within 6 months. He will be impeached. Malloy keeps saying that, and he's been pretty spot on about predictions. About, you know,
I'll be happy to be wrong, but it's going to have to be so grievous that you can get 2/3 of the damn useless Senate to vote to convict and vote to convict with John and Roberts being the judge of the case, okay?
Right. Exactly. That's the bitch of it all, and I just do not see it happening. You know, these people, they are ruthless. They really are. They're absolutely ruthless.
Well, I mean, let's work on this for a minute, John. You've got a Republican majority in the House, and in order for impeachment to be a reality at all, they have to bring the bill of impeachment, okay? Now, it doesn't just happen. Somebody doesn't wake up one morning and say, let's vote on impeachment. I mean, there are real practices and procedures that take place in the Congress. And they tend to move fairly slowly. So,
yeah.
So what happens is you would either need every Democrat plus like 10 Republicans to go in on a bill of impeachment, or you would need the Republicans by themselves to just decide he's got to go. Now, there are power dynamics at work here. Paul Ryan, the best proof we have for the fact that Paul Ryan desperately wants to be president of the United States is the fact that Paul Ryan constantly says, no, I don't want to be president of the United States. And then he goes out and buys ads or decides to go down and see the wonders that are Iowa. You know, one state down. He's fucking Janesville, okay? Oh. I mean, down into the right. So he's got his own power trip. And remember, this is a guy whose favorite book is Atlas Shrugged. Okay? And that's all about power acquisition and power exertion.
Oh, really? And then he's like a fan of Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand.
Oh, big. He used to give copies of that filthy book to his 16, 17-year-old interns in his office.
Wow.
Yeah, and you don't want to read the sex scenes. Not because I'm a prude, just because they're really bad sex scenes. I mean,
really?
The sex scenes in Atlas Shrugged couldn't get published in Penthouse Letters. Okay, dear Penthouse, I never dreamed I would be in bed with a railroad magnate. But he wants his own power, and he's the Speaker of the House. And so so something would have to happen, and there would have to be an agreement with Mike Pence. Mike Pence might be the key to this whole scenario if he decides that Jesus has told him to be president, because he's one of these psychopaths that thinks God talks to him.
Yeah. They more or less all are.
You'd have to have like a select committee on investigations. Now, if Hillary Clinton had been inaugurated president, the Select Committee on Investigations would have gaveled in this past Tuesday.
Yeah, seriously though. Seriously.
So that takes a while, and you've got to come up with your more or less bill of particulars of what impeachable offenses he's committed. And the Constitution's not real clear. It just says the president can be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors.
Yeah.
Now, that was once defined as not telling the truth about getting a blowjob.
Right, right. That's what he got him on perjury, right?
Allegedly. I think there's still an open argument as to whether that's perjury.
Oh, yeah, because he said, I didn't have sex with that woman. And he really didn't, not technically.
Oh, he had fellatio.
Yeah.
And the Republicans say the only sex that matters is the sex that creates a precious little fetus.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really sex.
They don't have it at all. Can I ask you something about Bill Clinton's impeachment real quick? Well,
before we run off on that, hang on to that. Let's finish the process. So after you've had your select committee and after you've developed all the evidence, then you draft a bill of impeachment. And then the bill of impeachment has to come out of committee before it can go to the floor. Now, the process that I've just described to you, it takes more than 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
And then if it actually is passed by a majority, it doesn't have to be a two-thirds majority, but by a majority of the House, then the president stands impeached. But to be impeached is not to be removed from office.
Yeah, right.
To be impeached is the same, on the same level as being indicted. So then the trial goes to the Senate, where the Senate trial of Bill Clinton precedent indicates that the whole Senate sits as a jury. And the House, who impeached him, comes and presents the evidence to the Senate with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States presiding. Now, this can take a day, or it can take days, or it can take weeks, it can take months, because it's all done ad hoc. In other words, you know, they make it up as they go along.
Yeah.
But whenever John Roberts gets around to gaveling the trial to a close, then they have to vote. And they have to have...
Does it have to be unanimous?
Huh?
I was going to say, does it have to be unanimous?
No, it has to be two-thirds. Okay. And getting a two-thirds majority in the Senate for anything except something that's really, really good for the Senate is nigh impossible. I mean, you saw through the course of the Obama administration how damnably difficult it is to even get a 60-vote supermajority to let a bill go forward, because those are the rules that Mitch McConnell has applied to the situation.
I'm just
suggesting that maybe this is just a lack of vision on my part, John, but I don't see a scenario in which the Republicans have a vested interest in impeaching him.
I don't either, because he's going to do what they want. And Malloy's argument is that they're going to use him to push through every single bit of legislation that they can possibly get in.
They'll throw him in the ditch.
And I don't know if that's what will happen. I have suspicions, because Trump has this way of making people fall in line. And I don't know if it's just his authoritarian aura that makes it do that, or if they're just sycophants, or they're just opportunists. I don't know what it is, but he has that way about him. But I don't think that there's no way. These Republicans would never, ever try to impeach their own. They wouldn't do it, because then it reflects poorly on a Republican as a president. You know what I mean? That they'll be afraid that they can't win another presidential election for a while or something. I'm sure there's other reasons.
So the House has 435 members. And of that 435, 240 are Republicans and 193 are Democrats. Okay?
Okay.
So you divide 435 by 2, and you get 218, basically. That would be a majority. 218. So that means you would need 193 Democrats plus 25 Republicans in order to clear a bill of impeachment out of the House. Every Democrat plus 25 Republicans. I don't think you can find those 25 Republicans. I don't think they exist.
No.
Now, if Paul Ryan decided it was time to go, it would be a different story. The other alternative for shedding Trump is the 25th Amendment. And I don't put a lot of stock in that either, because that requires his own cabinet to look up and say, he's nuts. He's got to go.
Well, I know his cabinet wouldn't do it, but I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you can believe the reports or not, but apparently there's some, I don't know if I want to call it infighting, but there's some people in that White House right now that are a little worried.
Oh, no, no. There's power struggles taking place, because that happens in any new presidency as the presidency begins to gel. you never know with any presidency where your personality conflicts are necessarily going to lie. I mean, you could have had you could have had the perfect team going through the election, but you get into power and they start bumping up against each other, and people, there are winners and losers.
Yeah.
But they've got larger problems too, because they can't seem to tear him away from the television. I don't know if you saw this story or heard this story or not, because you know this is just a little bit horrifying. Apparently, they've had a hard time keeping Trump from calling Joe Scarborough.
Oh, wow.
For advice.
Really? Joe Scarborough?
Yeah, morning squint.
Why would he want to, what does he need, what does he have that Trump doesn't, you know?
Because he buries his nose up his little tangerine rosebud.
And then, so basically, when you see Joe Scarborough in the morning sometimes criticizing Trump, that's all facade.
It's entertainment. Apparently. It's entertainment.
So he basically, wow. These people, man. This is insane. I mean, it's madness. You cannot.
We're on day six, and I've just laid out a process to you, John, that's going to take way the hell more than any 6 months.
Yeah.
In that interim 6 months, how much damage can he do?
A lot.
I mean, you've got Steve Bannon telling the New York Times and the media generally to shut the hell up.
Why didn't they say to him, are you talking about the media that gave Trump $2 billion of free airtime? They should have said that to him.
Yeah, but that one. They didn't say that one.
They didn't say that to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, they should have said that to him. Of course they didn't, though. Of course not. I mean, why would they want to stand up to anybody with a position of power?
Well, there you go.
It's mad. I mean, I feel that he could do a lot of damage.
I mean, this guy is so unstable, so off the rails. New York Magazine, Gabriel Sherman, quotes his sources as saying that Trump has said he feels personally betrayed by CNN.
Wow.
He apparently had no goddamn idea what being president even meant.
No, yeah. Because he thought that it was like being an uncrowned king.
And meanwhile, where's this stuff coming from? Racist Bannon is the one who's writing the executive orders.
Yeah, probably. Well, the wall thing is getting pushed back. And I don't like the wall. That is a monument of hatred right there. That's what that is. It's a monument. They're going to take people's health care away from them and turn around and use that money to pay for something that's going to satisfy these racist pigs. You know, it's all there. All that is to satisfy the racist pigs, the delusional sons of bitches who actually think that Mexico is going to pay for that wall. And you want to know what? I wouldn't be surprised if that guy, the president of Mexico, caves and says, okay, Mr. Trump, we'll pay for the wall. Because, I mean, would it surprise you?
I frankly, yes, it would, because it would be a complete abnegation of Mexican sovereignty, and it would render Mexico into nothing more than a colonial state to the United States with the situation bad enough as it is.
Yeah. the Mexican people, the Mexican people already saw when Trump was a candidate and visited him down there. The Mexican people saw that as treason. They wanted to throw his ass out of office for that, just for meeting with Trump and basically genuflecting for him. And if they allow him to say, oh, we'll pay for it, while a portion of their population is probably starving, and this delusional fucker wants them to pay for his bigotry. It's crazy. It's absolutely
crazy.
Well,
he is. I feel comfortable saying that the man has something wrong with his brain.
Oh, yeah.
And other people are saying the same thing who aren't just, you know, me. I mean, people are looking at him and saying the same thing who have watched a lot of presidents, for instance. I mean, Charles Blow, and with anything that touches on the New York Times, I admit that it's hard not to say, well, you know, this would have been, but Charles Blow has been consistent in his writing throughout the campaign, at one point refusing to even type his name. So his in his New York Times column, he complained about Sean Dirty Spicer, saying that the narrative is always negative and it's demoralizing. In his column, Charles Blow wrote, "No, sir, the default is to call a lie a lie. Lies are negative because they are the opposite of truth, and Trump continuously lies. Also, he who is devoid of morality is immune to demoralization. You can't wring water from a rock. Donald Trump is a proven liar. He lies often and effortlessly. He lies about the profound and the trivial. He lies to avoid guilt and invite glory. He lies when his pride is injured and when his pomposity is challenged."
Well, he is a skillful practitioner of word.
The art of word knowing, yes.
Yeah.
But it's kind of we're in a time where all the norms are gone, John. We're in a time where these kind of columns didn't even get written in the mainstream press about W. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and W was hard. I mean, I remember that. That's pretty much the first presidency that I remember, because I don't really remember the Clinton presidency very well. I was too young, and there was always some kind of fuck up all the time. I mean, even some Republicans, seriously, like Republican voters, couldn't stand him. By the end of it, they wouldn't even admit you were hard pressed to find a Republican voter to admit that they voted for Bush. I mean, it was that bad. And right now we're only, like you said, 6 days in, and this guy's already way worse. He is.
And so he gives his first formal interview to ABC, and he spends a big part of it talking about how big his crowd is.
Did he really?
Oh yeah.
Because I couldn't watch it. I can't watch mentally.
He's got blow-ups hanging on the fucking wall, John.
What is it?
He's got blow-ups of his inaugural crowd, and they've been hung on the wall like portraits of presidents.
Really?
One thing this shows is just how far over they go here. Look how far this is. This goes all the way down here, all the way down. Nobody sees that. You don't see that in the pictures. But when you look at this tremendous sea of love, I call it a sea of love. It's really something special.
Love for him.
Many of these people were the forgotten men and women, and they loved what I had to say. Nobody loved what he had to say. Goddamn, how do you love a speech about American carnage where he says, "We all bleed"?
Yeah. And there's even some Republicans that say, well, no, there's some Trump supporters that were at the inauguration that will admit, no, the cloud wasn't that big. But then they'll give you a bullshit excuse, of course, as to why it wasn't big. Oh, it was going to rain or whatever, you know, but they even say, no, it wasn't that big of a crowd. But my question is, why does ABC sit there and let this madman
Because they're still in love with access, John. They haven't figured it out yet that it's not going to work for them.
It's driving me nuts, Bob. I can't. These people that are allowing him to, that are enabling this nut, this craziness. It makes me so furious. I will never watch these networks ever again for news, ever. No matter what happens, even if we do have some kind of a revolution where everybody that's in office gets thrown out of office and we actually restore the country back to, you know,
sanity
or whatever. Yeah, sanity. Yeah. I'm never going to watch it.
Outfits like CNN are being forced to learn how to do journalism again because they are cut out of access. I mean, Alex Jones just got press credentials for the White House, okay?
That's insane. That's insane. That son of a bitch does not deserve any kind of platform at all. I mean, if he wants to do his little thing on his website, whatever, but that is everything that goes through there is garbage in, garbage out. I mean, of course, I mean, I do agree with him on a few things, like, okay, I think that somebody that Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't the only person who shot JFK. I mean, that's just something that I have a gut feeling about. Maybe I agree with some of the things he said on there. That's like one thing, though. Alex Jones, everything else, I mean, you know, I used to actually kind of watch Alex Jones a little bit because I used to be sort of a conspiracy theorist, not a right-wing one. I was unaware. I didn't feel like he was a right-winger at the time, you know. But one time when I really realized how utterly unhinged he was he had a video where he was saying that he was Bill Hicks, that he's actually Bill Hicks, and that and in the middle of it he's like, you know, he's putting on this little act that I'm actually Bill Hicks, and then in the middle of it he turned into this other like alter ego where he was like some British guy.
Well, and see, if Alex Jones can do that, crazy. Then I can go forward with my personal theory that that's not really Donald Trump, that's Andy Kaufman.
Right. Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, you'll have to look him up. But he, you know, he was known for long extended pranks on his audience. But the thing is, like, CNN is going to have to figure out how to do news without worshiping at the altar of access.
Which is kind of, like you said, they're kind of starting to do that now.
Right, and it will be painful for them, but it will also, John, be good for them, because they might actually remember how to do journalism again.
Yep, they're going to have to.
You don't have to be talking to the president to report on what the president is doing. And it's far more important to report on what impact a madman is having than letting him lead you around and show you his sea of love.
I cannot believe they actually let him, you know, do that. I mean, it's on Twitter I saw a promo for it, and ABC, and it was from ABC, which I guess it was an ad, more or less, and it said, President, you know what, because I won't ever say the word president and, you know, that thing's name in the same, right beside each other, but it said, President, you know who, historic first interview. Historic? You know what I mean? Like, I guarantee. I'm wondering if when Barack Obama was elected, if they said something like that. Barack Obama's first historic interview in the White House used the term historic. What's so historic about it, other than the fact that he's probably our last real president, or not real, but our last president, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, this is a dictatorship. These people need to realize it. They need to get with the program. It's very obvious now, the way he treats us. It's baffling. I never thought I'd ever have to live to see something like this. And, you know, when I say that he's a fascist, people that I know, like, you know, like my father, for example, they kind of look at me like I'm using it in the sense that, like you said, where when people use a word about somebody they don't like. You know what I'm saying? Like, but they don't realize that I actually am serious. I'm not trying to, you know, use it in the sense that I'm just trying to call him something because I don't like him. I'm using that word in its actual purest sense. This government is fascist. You know, and then I saw an article from Vox the other day, which is supposed to be so-called progressive, that said it was Trump is not a fascist. That was their headline. I mean, when are these people going to learn? Seriously, I don't understand it. I mean, and then another headline: Bernie Sanders praises Trump for killing the TPP. Now, do you remember back in September when TPP was already died?
Well,
how did Trump kill something that already died?
I know. But he did with his magic tangerine Trumpy powers. Hey, John, I hate to say it, but we got to get out of here because I'm right up against it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. The time got away from me.
That's okay. That's the way conversations work. John, you have yourself a good evening. We'll talk soon.
You too. Be safe up there in D.C.
Thanks. Bye now. And don't forget, Friday on the front porch tomorrow. And to catch up with all the fundraising, we will have, 487 plus... 562 fundraising goal to finish off with Friday on the front porch tomorrow. $562. Hopefully we can do it. Maybe some of it will come down overnight. Thanks everybody who's making this all possible. I cannot tell you how important that it really, really is. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you to our news ninjas. Gene, take it easy on the French news. They're liable to scare you to death. And thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.